Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Do you know what the most frequently expressed New Year's resolution is? More than wanting to improve one's career or desiring to make more money, the number one New Year's resolution that most men and women convey to their family and friends is one that is related to eating better, exercising more, and improving their figure or physique. Particularly, this is true among bachelors and bachelorettes. Many nutritionists and fitness experts say that Americans are heavier now than they ever have been in the history of this country. Is it just laziness or lack of motivation? Is it lack of education and knowledge? Is it something about the types of foods we eat or the liquids we drink? Is there some other factor involved in our obesity epidemic? Tonight, I have invited two personal friends of mine to join me on tonight's episode to discuss with my listeners and I how important it is to become focused and, more importantly, remain focused on eating right, exercising, and generally staying healthy. Who are these friends of mine who are more than willing to offer their words of wisdom to both my male and female listeners? One's name is Deborah Johnson Fountain, and the other is named Andre Lavelle. And tonight, both Ms. Fountain and Mr. Lavelle are ready to offer some of their best recommendations they can, as both of these personal trainers take time out of their very busy schedules in order to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is this Hey Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh, my God.
You're really good at this.
Gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode One, this is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Fine-looking woman, got a great big leg. Yeah, big fat woman with a great big leg. Big fat woman, got a great big leg. And every time she moves,
A lot of people love that title. Ooh, Say It Again. Yeah, it's called Ooh, Say It Again, Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction and Oral Sex. Not O-R-A-L sex, but A-U-R-A-L sex. Oral, as in you're listening to it. But yeah, that is my new best-selling book, is Ooh, Say It Again. It overtook Mo 1 as my bestseller. I don't know about internationally. I think internationally, Mo 1 is still my top seller. But I know domestically, Ooh, Say It Again is my new best-selling book. And so, yeah, that's who I am. My episodes are available on iTunes. So if you ever want to check out iTunes, please do. You can download any of my episodes literally from my very first episode in 2007 up until now. You can download all of my episodes if you go to iTunes, and look for podcasts. Go to iTunes, look for podcasts, put in Alan Roger Curry, A-L-A-N, Roger, R-O-G-E-R, C-U-R-R-I-E is my last name. Put that in iTunes, you'll be able to download all of my past episodes. Well, I got a little disappointing news. I had told everybody a few episodes ago that I was going to be in Rio de Janeiro for a Mode 1 related speaking event in mid-February. That has been now postponed. It's now going to be in early to mid-December of this year will be the event in Rio de Janeiro. So instead of mid-February, it's now going to be in early to mid-December. So I will keep you posted. My next place I'm scheduled to go internationally is Germany. I'm supposed to be in Berlin, Germany in mid to late April. So as soon as I get more details on that, I will provide you with the details on that. I'm going to be in Berlin, Germany in mid to late April. Now, what's been going on in the news? Man, Oscar nominations came out today, and a brother was a little pissed. You know, I think everybody, I don't know if everybody's a big movie buff like me. Anybody who knows me knows I am a huge movie buff. And so I keep up with things like the Golden Globe nominations and awards and the Oscar nominations and awards. And inevitably, each year there's somebody who gets, as they say, snubbed. Somebody who the general populace of the entertainment industry thought would be nominated that wasn't. There's usually anywhere from 2 to 3 people to sometimes as many as, you know, 8 to 10 people who people will say, oh, that person got snubbed. Well, this year was no different. One person I would say among other people that got snubbed, number one on my list is Ben Affleck, man. If you didn't see his movie Argo, you missed a really, really, really good film. I mean, that movie was very, very good. And Ben Affleck was really coming to his own as a director. I think he is just out. You know, he started off being a screenwriter, him and Matt Damon. They co-wrote Good Will Hunting, which I saw. Love that movie. And then he went on to be an actor. He had some good acting roles, some roles that I'm sure he regrets. But now he's really coming to his own as a director, and I thought he did an outstanding job with Argo. Now, Argo as a film did receive, I think, about 4 or 5 nominations. So the movie itself didn't get shut out, but he got shut out in the best director category. One more other notable omission I felt and some other people felt was Leonardo DiCaprio in Django Unchained, which I just saw this past Saturday. I enjoyed it. I know there's been a lot of controversy related to Django, but I enjoyed the movie. I'm just going to tell you straight up. I enjoyed it. It had everything. It had drama. It had comedy. It had some parts that were tough to deal with if you're an African American. But overall, it was a very entertaining movie. And Leonardo DiCaprio, he was very believable in his role. He was very good. He was very believable. Now, his co-star did get nominated this morning. Christoph Waltz, who actually won an Oscar for his role in another Quentin Tarantino movie, which was Inglourious Basterds. He won for Best Supporting Actor in that film, and he got nominated for Django. He was the only actor to get nominated for an Oscar for Django Unchained. One more snub, at least for me. Now, some people might not agree with this one. I thought The Dark Knight Rises should have got at least two or three Oscar nominations. As far as I know, it didn't get any Oscar nominations, and that's bullshit. I mean, most people say, oh, man, that's a superhero movie. That was a damn good... I saw that movie, dare I say it publicly. My close friends already know this. I think this might be my first time admitting it publicly. I saw that movie 9 times at the movie theater. 9 times. That's the most I've ever seen any movie at the movie theater. My record before that was 8 times. I saw this movie called Heat with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. I saw Heat 8 times at the movie theater. But I saw The Dark Knight Rises 9 times. It didn't get, I don't think, one Oscar nomination, unless it was in one of those, you know, technical categories, which I didn't pay attention to. But as far as for acting or directing or screenplay, it didn't get anything, man. I was like, man, that's some bullshit. Interesting story that I came across today. A woman died. Man, I've heard of just about every way a man or woman can die. But this one really caught my eye. A woman died doing a lap dance. It's really not funny. See, I'm chuckling, but I'm trying not to because the woman's dead. I mean, it ain't nothing to laugh at when a woman died. But the woman was a stripper. And she tried to do some type of fancy lap dance move. And I guess she was on a balcony and she was near the edge. And she ended up falling over the balcony and falling like 15 feet. And head first. And wow. That just reading that story just tripped me up. Matter of fact, literally, initially, I thought it was a joke. I thought somebody was pulling my leg. I thought it was one of those, like, Onion articles. I don't know if you're familiar with the Onion, but they have a lot of satirical articles, a lot of parodies of real-life events. So I thought somebody was pulling my chain, but the woman really died from trying to do some kind of fancy lap dance. I'm like, wow. So anyway, I thought that was a very, very interesting story. And going back to movies for a second, a movie I want to see very much comes out tomorrow. I think I'll probably see it tomorrow, is Zero Dark Thirty. This is the movie that's supposed to chronicle how Osama bin Laden was caught and killed. So it's called Zero Dark Thirty. Now, a lot of people felt like the director of that movie, I think her name is Catherine Bigelow, a lot of people thought she got snubbed. She didn't get a Best Director nomination for that movie. But anyway, my show is not to talk about movies. Normally, I talk about dating and relationships. But again, tonight, we are going to be talking about how to create a better you. Are you just overweight? Are you feeling a little lazy and unhealthy? Do you want some questions answered related to eating better or exercising more? Well, you've come to the right show because we're going to start off the year right, include myself, man, because I ain't going to lie. All my listeners and fans know I love some chicken wings and peach and apple. Those are the two things I love. It's known internationally, no joke. People write me from different countries. And they say, Alan, when you come to my country, we will provide you with chicken wings and peach schnapple. Even some countries don't even have P-Snap when they want to provide me with P-Snap. That's how well-known my cuisine choices are known around the world. I love chicken wings. It's hard to give them up. Man, I can eat Hooters like every other day. Man, come on. Chicken wings? Jerk chicken wings? And I love me some P-Snap. I got a bottle of P-Snap in front of me right now. So anyway, this is going to be your chance to call in. I'm interviewing two personal trainers tonight. One male, one female, so no matter what gender you are, you know, some things would be universal for both genders and some things might be nuanced towards each individual gender. But when I get back, I will introduce the first of my two guests. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So what can I tell you? I'm excited. I got, like, I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people, and he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
And I need to know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, you got a talent for this rollerblading thing. And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, yes, I love to rollerblade. I said, well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading. I said, your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex? And she was like, oh, my God. I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses? I was like, is that a trick question?
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. Now, I forgot to give love to my listeners. I usually always give love to all my listeners, both live listeners and podcast listeners, but particularly my chat room listeners. I don't have a lot of them in there right now, but I do have my number one most loyal listener, Adrian, Columbus, Ohio, Diva, 362636. And she always likes to bring up the point that she is multitasking. Because, see, if you don't know already, just about all black women in the country watch Scandal on Thursday nights. And I hate the fact that they schedule Scandal on Thursday nights right against my show. Don't they know that the Alan Roger Curry Show is on? Yes. Ever since Scandal came on, it just takes away from my black female audience. But she multitasks. She listens to my show. She watches Scandal. She even watches a game if it's on. She knows how to do a whole bunch of things at one time. See that? See, man, that's that woman you want. Is a woman that knows how to multitask. So she's in my chat room. I see Olivier Couton in my chat room. Other shout outs would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. My younger cousins, Christopher Curry in Detroit, A.B. in Maplewood, New Jersey, J.P. Jones in Chicago, Philip Poyum and his older brother, Irvin V. Poyum, the third EVP3. Matter of fact, Irv is one of the ones that used to keep me, light a fire under my butt to keep me in shape. We used to go jogging together back in the day. He's all about health and fitness. And he's a regular, loyal listener to my show. Couple other quick shout-outs. Jesse Patton and his wife, Teresa, enjoy seeing them in Barrington, Illinois this past weekend. And to one of my students, one of my clients in Croatia, Milo. Milo, you asked for a shout-out. I'm giving you a shout-out. Milo in Croatia. Yep, I got clients all over the world that come to me for words of wisdom related to the Mode 1 philosophy. But anyway, getting to tonight's show. My guest for the evening, who currently lives in Hartford, Connecticut, with her husband and four children, was born and raised in Michigan City, Indiana, not too far from my neck of the woods, Gary, Indiana, and she earned a business degree in finance from one of the top business programs in the country. That's right, my alma mater, Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. I think the undergraduate business program is always ranked in the top five. It's been as high as number three. It's usually no lower than number five. So that means she got a valuable degree. She's been a fitness instructor for the past 15 years. My guest first became interested in fitness when she started working out at home with fitness videos. I watched some of those fitness videos, like, you know, women be dancing in their little outfits. Anyway, that's another story. But, yeah, her passion for fitness grew into a successful personal training business where at one point she had 35 clients a week, not a year, not a month, but a week from her home. Now my guest for the evening teaches spin, body pump, and ever so popular Zumba. My sister-in-law is big into Zumba. And in addition to personal training and teaching classes, my guest has also competed in two bodybuilding competitions where she placed as a finalist in both of those contests. My guest's philosophy on fitness is a fit body equals a fit mind. So without further ado, on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, give it up to my good friend since college, personal fitness trainer, Deborah Johnson Fountain.
Thanks, Alan.
What's happening?
Nothing much, Alan. Nothing much.
You're so cool sometimes. She's just like,
I'm cool.
Now, you know what's interesting, Deborah, is you and I first made each other's acquaintance in college at Indiana University.
Right.
I'm always talking about the Hoosiers. You hear that, Diva? I'm always talking about the Hoosiers. See, one of my listeners, Adrian, she's an Ohio State Buckeye. So
oh, boy,
she's always
yeah.
She's talking about how the Buckeyes are better than the Hoosiers. But you and I know what's up. We know what's
up. Of course.
But now, here's the thing I remember about you and was also kind of surprising. You were one of those women. There are some women that I would say that have a nice body because they really, really work at it. And then there's some women, particularly younger women, that I would say God just blessed them with good DNA and good genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And I tended to put you more in the latter category. And now I might have been wrong. You might have been in the gym every day, every other day for all I knew, and I just didn't see it. But I never saw you as a gym rat. Now, you definitely, I think all the men who went to school with us would agree, you definitely had one of the nicest figures of any woman on the entire campus. But I always thought, again, it was just God had blessed you. But then to come in contact with you years later, where you're like this major female bodybuilder, and that segued into you being a personal trainer. Right. So tell my listening audience, what was the particular event or series of events in your life that made you become this kind of fitness fanatic?
Okay, well, I wouldn't say I was a fanatic, but some of that is true. I was blessed with good DNA, but, you know, it can only take you so far. You know, I am a woman of a certain age. I have four children, so all that good DNA wore off, okay? So you have to take matters to your own hands. But I wouldn't say I was a gym rat when I was in college, but I did run. I did enjoy exercise. Not like I would say I enjoyed it then, but I actually love it now. It has become a lifestyle. It wasn't a lifestyle back then, but it did. It was a part of just college. But after I had my second child, I decided to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom, and I did not want to, get fat and frumpy. So I started working out in my living room, just like most people do. Back then it was a VHS, it wasn't a DVD. But I worked out every day, and I started to develop a love for it. It wasn't just enjoying it. So after my third child was born, I decided to try to do this as make a living at it. I wasn't sure how to go about that, but I got certified as a personal trainer, and, you know, really, I think when you make a step in the right direction, things just kind of fall into place, and they really did. We were living in New Jersey when I got certified, moved to Washington, D.C., and things took off. People wanted to, especially women, my clients were all women, wanted to get into shape without going to the gym. And so that's where my expertise came in handy, with just working out one-on-one women. And I enjoyed that part of the business, actually seeing women go from one size to loving their bodies. And I guess that's where my passion came from.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say, I read different articles, and some of them give different responses to this question, but in general, I would say most people would say that both eating right and exercising are important. But if you had to tilt the needle towards one or the other, you couldn't leave it right in the middle, you had to tilt it, if ever so slightly, towards one or the other, which would you say is more important? The eating right portion or the exercising portion?
I can't even. They're equal. You really do need both. You really do. Really. You can't. You can exercise and not eat right. You're not going to look
too good. You're not going to be able to really maximize your workout. And you can't ignore your diet. So they go hand in hand. You really need both. You can't make me choose. I wish I could. I would even throw another thing in there and say you got to do some kind of weight training too. I mean, you got to do all three in there. To me, all three are equal. Cardio.
So weight training, cardio, training, and eating right.
You got to do them all if you really want to see some results and you want to see them fast. Most people don't want to. They want to see something right away, or you lose interest and you go back to eating or doing what you did before. You really, I can't. You can't make me choose. I'm a trainer. I can't choose between. I won't choose between the two.
Oh, I like that.
You've gotten away with chicken wings and peach and snaps. What is that, Snapple?
Peach Snapple, yeah.
No, I don't know how you. I don't even know how you did that for so long, Alan.
Listeners, did you hear that, like, that sympathy in her voice? If you were my client,
you'd be giving that up. But, no, you know what? You want to have a balance. I don't believe it. I mean, you can eat wings every now and then, and you can drink your Snapple every now and then, but everything in moderation. So it didn't sound like you were doing that in moderation to me.
No, I've never eaten chicken wings or drank peach and apple in moderation. Well, I can say I never have.
There you go.
I mean, I got on my there was a time, like, when I first met you, see, they didn't have they had chicken wings, but they weren't, like, a big thing.
Right,
and,
not like, it's a major food group today.
And, yeah, I mean, I could, man, if you put me on an island and you just gave me some Hooters chicken wings and some peach and apple, I would be set. I wouldn't need anything else, but yeah, I pay for it because it definitely has affected my previously ultra sexy physique. And,
I remember that. Well, so, you know, a lot of people have trouble getting started. That's the hardest part. You know, where do I start? And you got to one step is, you know, you got to make the first step, and the second step will come, but. You really got to, you know, whether it's exercise that you start with or eating right, you got to make the first step. And I think the second step is just, you know, you got to make the first one before you even see the second step.
Well, let's go back to, like, my chicken wings and peach snap addiction. There's some people, of course, out here, diet experts, that will say there's just certain foods you need to just give up. Period. Then there's other diet experts, nutritionists, who say what you alluded to, which is you can eat or drink anything you want, but just in more moderation and more small. For example, I was reading about Jennifer Hudson. She's now a spokeswoman, I think, for, what is it, Weight Watchers?
Weight Watchers.
Jenny Craig, one of those.
Weight Watchers, yeah.
Weight Watchers. And I was reading her interview, and she literally said, I eat everything I want to eat.
She said, I
don't eat them in the same portions that I used to eat them.
Right.
But she said, there's nothing that I just flat out don't eat.
I agree.
I don't know if I totally believe her, but what's your take on that?
I totally 100% agree with her. I eat everything that I want to eat. There's nothing that I don't eat. But I do eat in moderation. I think when you start getting fit, you won't let yourself sit down and eat wings 5-6 days. It's just too much work, you know. You just won't even, it can't happen. So I believe her. I totally believe her. I mean, that's real life because we're going to have ups and downs. You can't go through this life saying, I'm not going to eat this ever again because you're setting yourself up for failure. But because that's just not real. That's just not real life, you know. I like wings too. So if I go to a Super Bowl party, I'm going to have wings as well. But I'm not going to have them again the next day and the next day and the next day. But I think it's a realistic approach to keeping the weight off and making it a lifestyle change. Because, I mean, diets, I don't even like to use the word diet because that to me infers that it's going to start and it's going to end. And I just think you got to do this for the rest. You really do. You got to do it for the rest of your life. So you got to make a lifestyle change. And
man, you sound like my I got a younger cousin who grew up not too far from you, grew up in South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Name is Atha, I'm going to give him a shout out. After Ball, he's now a Wall Street executive. And he used to run track for South Bend LaSalle.
Okay.
And so he's always been, matter of fact, I'm going to brag on him a little bit. He went downstate his senior year. He graduated in 83 out of South Bend LaSalle. He finished second to the guy that used to play for Pittsburgh Steelers. I can't remember the light-skinned guy from Fort Wayne. Rod Woodson. Beat him out in the hurdles. Anyway, that's a little shout-out to you, cuz. But after, whenever I would talk to him about half of it, that was like his main thing, what you just said. That was it. He would always say, tell me, he said, cuz, man, please do not use the word diet.
All right.
He said, when you talk about diet, you're talking about something that's temporary.
Right.
And, you know, that's you're basically saying to yourself, well, I'm going to eat right for the next few days or the next few weeks or the next few months. But then once I reach my goal, I'm going to go back to eating bullshit.
Yeah, right.
And he said, you got to make a lifestyle change. You got to just say to yourself, I'm going to change my lifestyle. Now, I'm going to be honest. For me, and I think a lot of people, that's sometimes easier said than done, but I guess
that's where
the commitment comes in.
I agree. Oh. It that word lifestyle change is scary, but I think the thing is you can't look at the word lifestyle. You just got to start moving. And again, my whole philosophy of fit body and a fit mind, when you start being physical and feeling fit, your body, your mind won't let you eat like you used to. So it just comes. You won't be able to sit down and eat like you used to. So you're thinking too much. Move the body first, and the mind will follow.
Well, I like that. Move the body first, and the mind. Okay, now you mentioned the idea. You said one of the things that will get people quickly motivated, because I would tend to agree with this. If there's one time as I've gotten older where I sometimes lose interest in eating right and or exercising consistently is when I don't see any results at all, or I'm seeing results very, very slow. I try not to be too unrealistic / impatient, but I want to see results like in the first 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh,
is
sure.
there any technique that a man or woman, particularly for you, I want you to give advice to the women. What can women do that will definitely cause them to see results, say, by the third week of
their
exercise program?
I'm glad you asked that question. Because, you know what we said in the beginning, eat right, exercise, to me, what I mean is cardio, and then weight training. If you do all three, 100%, you're going to see results in 3 weeks. I mean, you got to do all three. You got to lift weights 3 times a week. You got to cardio 5 to 7 days a week. And you also have to eat right. If you do all three at the exact same time, you're going to see results. Most people don't do all three at the same time. So it's not rocket science. You know what? It's all stuff we've heard before. But I think go at it, do 100%, all three, and you will see results. And that usually, that'll motivate you to keep moving. So.
Uh-huh. Okay, now let me ask you. We were talking about things that, you said you eat anything you want to. But I was going to ask you, given going from the time, say, you and I were on the campus of IU Bloomington up until now, has there been any food that was like kind of a guilty pleasure for you that now you just look at with disgust and say, oh, I can't believe
Ooh.
I used to eat that stuff.
Alan, no. No, I love food. I do. I love food. I love chicken just like you do. But I just can't, if I see something, greasy, or I just can't sit down and eat a lot of it. But I wasn't always like that. I'm not trying to sound like a saint here. You know, and I come from a family that, an African-American family, where we eat a lot of fat, and my mother likes to see us finish our plate, and, you know, that's how I grew up. It's part of the lifestyle, and I just if you told me I was going to be doing personal training, if you said that 20 years ago, I would have laughed at you, because this is so far from me, from what I thought I was going to be doing. But the more you get into yourself, the more you better yourself, it just kind of comes natural, and it just happens. I don't think about it. You know, I didn't think about being a personal trainer. Never thought about it. It just kind of happened. It was just, you know, the evolution of me. So if I had one thing to say to people is don't overthink it. Just start moving, and you don't have to belong to a gym. You can walk. I mean, just start moving. Take that first step. Just start doing something, you know.
Well, my final thing, since you did bring it up, and I think I'll preface my comments by saying I think the studies have documented that we as a society as a whole have just gotten heavier. They say this is the heaviest Americans collectively have been at any point in the history
right.
of our country.
Yes.
But in some circles, there has been particular emphasis on Black women. I remember specifically 2020 actually did a special a few years ago about fitness. And they,
right.
they rated by a combination of race and gender, and Hispanic women were next to last, and Black women were dead last as far as poor eating habits and poor exercise habits. Being the Black woman you are, who's now has changed your lifestyle, what do you identify as the factors, if you had to name maybe two or three factors that you think hurt sisters and how sisters can overcome these factors, what would they be?
Well, Black men. No, I'm joking. Oh, no. What I'm saying, you know what? I'm joking about that. Black men like thick sisters. I mean, and we believe that. And we embrace our curves. You know, we had a booty before it was a big deal, you know. And so we like to be curvy and, you know, and voluptuous. And we've taken it, some of us have taken it to the extreme that I don't want to be skinny, but skinny doesn't necessarily mean healthy. And so we have let ourselves go a little bit because of that, because we want to, you know, we're curvy. And I think, you know, that's part of the problem. Other parts of the problem would just be, you know, you just saw, you know, where we came from. Slavery comes back from there, too. You know, we just have been kind of low man on the totem pole for a while. So it's complicated. We would need a little bit more time, Alan, for that. But, you know, I don't want to discourage women. I want to encourage them that it's not just about the outside. What fitness does for the inside is far more, for me, far more rewarding. The outside is just a byproduct of what exercise does. When you feel good about the way you look, when you look in the mirror and you like what you see, I think your whole life transforms. I really do. So that's a little shout-out for the spiritual side. But
that's just a powerful statement. I like that you said that. It can trance. You know who I don't know if you're familiar with this guy named Bill Phillips. He oversees these supplements that were popular a few years back. They might be still popular, called EAS.
Yeah, yep.
And he had a video he did
before
called Body
after.
For Life.
Yes, I remember. I actually have the book.
Oh, okay, yeah. And but he said a statement similar to your statement. He said that, it, you know, when you improve your body, you commit yourself to improving your body, it just does more than just makes you, you know, more attractive. He said it literally transforms your entire life. And so, yeah, I think.
It's the energy, I think, that you kind of put off. You know, just imagine not liking what you see. I've been there before. Just getting dressed and not feeling good in my clothes and not liking the way that I look. That's every day where you carry that out into the universe. It's your energy all day, every day, and when you feel good about, you know, you feel good physically, you feel good about what you see in the mirror, it's a whole nother outlook when you go out, and it's a whole nother different energy. And you start to crave that. So that's what I say, that's part of the lifestyle change. You start liking that feeling. And it becomes fairly easy to eat right and exercise when you start to like how you feel about the way you look and the way you physically feel. It just kind of, you know, it happens. As simple as that sounds, I mean, because I know we always expect to hear something we've never seen. We like new equipment. We like new DVDs. We like new exercise, P90X. But it's really all the same stuff. It really is. It's all the same message, that, but we just kind of repackage it over and over and over again. You know, take exercise at its simplest form, and that's what it is. It's just, it's very simple. Don't make it hard. Don't make it difficult. Just go to the simplest form. Move your body. Take care of the inside. It'll be reflected on the outside. It's very simple.
One final thing. I saw, you know, in my intro for you, that I mentioned that you, one of the things you do is you teach Zumba. Man, I was talking about sisters in that way. Why are so many women, and particularly so many women of color, into Zumba? That's all I hear women talking about. Zumba, Zumba, Zumba. Like my sister-in-law, she always talking about Zumba. What's the appeal of Zumba?
Oh, man, I love it. And I teach a lot of classes, but that's probably my favorite class. Because you know what, Alan, it takes me back to dancing. I mean, we don't dance like we used to dance, like back in college. You know, you would dance the whole night. And now that we're older, we don't dance. To me, when I started teaching, it took me back to going to a party and dancing the whole night. We don't do it anymore, and it kind of just kind of brings that up from the past. It's like, wow, I forgot I could move. And you get into it, and time passes, and the music's pumping, and it really is just, it's the same love that you had at a house party growing up or at a college party. It's that same love of dance. It comes back. And a lot of us haven't danced like that in years. So I think that's part of it. And you don't have to be thin. You don't even have to really be fit to dance. But you get fit. You know, you're out of breath, but you're having so much fun that you continue to do it. I would say it's probably the most enjoyable cardio I have ever taught. And I've taught a lot of stuff. So.
That's a strong statement. Okay. Well, if somebody, say I have a woman listening to the show, whether she's listening to it live or as a podcast, and she, say, lived in the general Connecticut area, is there any way that they can get in contact with you and hire you as their personal trainer?
Sure. Now, it's a big state now. They have to come to me. I don't really travel much, but I am always open for advice. And I can leave that with you, and you can share it with your listeners on your podcast or what you want. How do you want me to do that?
If you want to say it publicly, you can say it now, or you can give it to me, and I can give it to whoever asks for it, either way.
I like to give it to you, and then you can give it to anybody that asks for it.
Okay.
I'd be more than happy to talk to anybody about getting fit or changing their lifestyle. How about that?
Changing their lifestyle. Okay. So your bottom line advice to me is, Alan, I love you, but you got to give up the wings and be
Well,
snapping.
In moderation. In
moderation.
Yeah.
Moderation. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Much love to you, Deborah.
You too, Alan.
Success to you.
You too. Same to you, baby.
Alrighty, listeners, that was Deborah Johnson Fountain, a good friend of mine and a personal trainer in the Connecticut area. If you have questions as the show goes on, I'm going to introduce my second guest after this intermission break. If you want to call in, it's 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. And if you are listening to this either live or as an archive podcast and you are interested in getting in contact with Ms. Fountain, write me a note at blogtalkradio@mode1.net, blogtalkradio@mode1.net, and I will share her contact info with you. Right now I'm going to take an intermission break, but when I get back I'm going to have my second guest of the evening, who's also a well-known and well-respected personal trainer. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex disease.
This is Nikki Trum, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Alan.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips. It's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls. If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you. He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from. Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister name.
Okay. Well, I will see you.
You will?
Soon. Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the boot camp stage if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... Just... What? Abby, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my discussion about eating better and exercising more in 2013 with Deborah Johnson Fountain and Andre Lavelle on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. This is the first episode of 2013, and normally, you know, my subject matter for an episode is something to do with attraction, seduction, love, relationships, dating, but a secondary emphasis of my show is just overall self-improvement for singles. And as I mentioned in my intro, the biggest area of self-improvement that most single men and single women start off a new year wanting to make is something related to their health and fitness, losing weight, improving their body, improving their looks, and then just improving the way they feel as a whole. And I already had you listen to the words of wisdom from my first guest, which was a friend named Deborah Johnson Fountain. She's a personal fitness trainer in Connecticut. And now my second guest is a young man I've known since the late 80s. We actually, some know I did comedy back in the day. And he and I used to do comedy. And he used to have, he was a character. He had his little groupies, these women that would come on stage with him. And I was like, who is this brother? Got his like little circle of female fan club coming up on stage with him. But if you look closely at Coming to America, he made an appearance in Coming to America. He's been on Def Comedy Jam. Now, you would think I'm going to introduce him and discuss a career in entertainment. But besides being a talented comedian, he switched his focus. We ran each other when I lived in L.A. He was a top-notch photographer and digital artist. So he actually attended Columbia College in Chicago to gain education in that area. I've seen his work. He's a great photographer, great digital artist. But more relevant to tonight's episode, he is a big-time health and fitness fanatic. He calls his sessions a boot camp. You know, anytime you hear the word boot camp, it's going to be intense. And he has the PCW, the Pit Crew Fitness Boot Camps, and they spare you no mercy. But What they want to do is they want to improve your conditioning, your flexibility, help you with weight loss, help you with core strength, stamina, confidence, discipline, a secure ego, muscle tone, and just feeling better about yourself. So it is my pleasure to introduce this young brother who I've known again since the late 80s. Listeners, give it up for Mr. Andre Lavelle. What's up, brother Lavelle?
Man, that introduction, man. I got to correct you. I didn't do Def Jam, but I did Comic View a couple times. I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Comic View.
But it's cool. It's all good.
Yeah, man, you used to have that what's that haircut that was it was
yeah
similar.
I had the Bobby Brown a little
yeah,
Bobby
Gumby. Brown.
Yeah, man, every little step I took, man.
Now I think you when I was in that Miller Lite contest, you were like the youngest guy in there, weren't you?
Yeah, I was pretty young at the time. Yeah.
Okay.
That was some time ago.
Now, let me ask you, given, as I mentioned in the intro, you've done comedy, you've done a lot of photography out in the Los Angeles area and elsewhere. What made you, I'm always curious when someone, I normally tend to associate people wanting to become a fitness guru if they previously were like the fat kid in their class and got teased about weight. But as long as I've known you, you've always been a slender gentleman. So what was the first incident or series of events that made you want to take your degree, your fitness regimen to another level?
I was influenced through martial arts. The person that made the biggest influence on me was Master Bruce Lee. And I always wanted the six-pack abs and the flexibility and so forth. So I started in martial arts training at 8 years old, and it took off from there.
Okay. Now, I know one of the things that martial arts teaches you is to have a more calm perspective about things. Don't overreact too quickly or too hastily to things. But based on what you just said, I'm assuming there's also that element of keeping your body. Well, I guess you would have to, because I don't think you could ever really execute a lot of what you need to execute as a martial artist if you're just totally like out of shape.
Yeah. Well, it's a mindset with PCW. It's a mindset of a warrior, and a warrior is always prepared to do battle. And you can only be prepared to do battle if you are physically fit and your head is on straight, you know. So PCW, taking it from that perspective, yeah, you definitely have to be in shape.
Now, how did you come up with the acronym PCW? I know the PC stands, I guess the W is the Warrior. Okay, I just got that.
Yeah
Pit Crew, I knew it was Pit Crew. And then I was like, okay, what's the W? But Pit Crew Warrior, okay.
Exactly. Well, the pit bull is the dog. It's a small dog with a hard, strong jaw. It bites, and once it hits you, it doesn't let go. You know, there's no fight in that. There's no lack of fight in that dog. Once you let him go, he's in there to win it. And that's the attitude we take. Once we start, we don't stop. Failure is not an option.
So, in other words, if you had a new client. Mm-hmm. And say you was working out with this client for a week or two, and they say, "No, this is too hard, man. I can't take it." Well, what's your response then if somebody just acts like they're gonna be a quitter real soon?
Well, that before we get started, there's an evaluation. You know, I have a one-on-one. We talk, and I find out where they are. Physically and emotionally. A lot of times people have limitations and barriers to them achieving their goals, which have nothing to do with how they eat or exercise. There's other things involved. When I do personal training, a lot of times I end up being a therapist and just listen to problems as they exercise. The difference in the way I train and some people train is I work out with the client. Therefore, I'm straining, struggling just like they're straining, struggling. So that creates that competitive drive in them. If I do two more, you do two more, you know, and we push one another. That's why in a boot camp situation where there's multiple people training, we all assist and push and help one another achieve our goals.
Interesting. Yeah, because I noticed when I saw some of the photographs from the PCW website, that's one thing I noticed is that usually when I think of personal trainers, I tend to have in my mind, you know, a one-on-one session. But I notice a lot of your sessions, it's like a group of people. So is that how most of the sessions go? It's like a group of clients at the same time?
Well,
or do you do both?
I do both, but I prefer group training.
Okay.
Yeah, when it's the individual, it tends to be a lot more difficult, personally, for me, because you do run into those barriers where they start, oh, I can't do it, and then it takes a lot more time to achieve that goal for me personally.
Now, going back to something you said, that's very interesting what you say. You said a lot of times what can prevent a person from eating better or exercising more consistently is some psychological issues that have nothing to do with eating or exercising. Give me two or three examples of past clients, some things that were like psychological blockers for a client of yours.
Well, sometimes we have traumas in our lives, things that happen to us that we're not even aware of that creates makes us binge eat or overeat. You know, a lot of times we'll get in front of the television and start nibbling and not even aware that we've consumed a whole bag of chips. So things of that nature. Like sometimes people, they've had situations in their lives, bullied, self-confidence issues, sexual issues, things of that nature.
Okay.
So something that's totally not related to exercise and fitness that may be blocking them from, you know, sticking to a regimen or not being a binge eater. I see eating and overweight, I compare it sometimes to alcoholism or drug abuse. Sometimes people do drugs and drink alcohol to pacify those underlying issues, you know.
You know, that's so funny, Andre, and maybe me and you need to sit down 1 week or for a few weeks and just hash out a screenplay. Because I was telling a friend that I said, with the possible exception of Nutty Professor, which was more so like a comedy, but I did enjoy it, but I said, you never see movies where somebody's just dealing with a junk food addiction. Like, we've seen many movies, most recently Flight with Denzel Washington, that dealt with alcoholism. There's a number of movies that have dealt with, you know, a character having a drug problem. But how many movies has there been that you've seen where the main character of the movie, his addiction was just junk food? He couldn't stop eating, say, ice cream and cookies or,
well, unfortunately,
you know,
people see obesity as a joke, you know. The fat comic, the fat clown, it's always taken lightly rather than seen as the serious problem that it is. Like you mentioned earlier, this country this is the first generation where parents will probably outlive their kids because of obesity and lack of movement. You know, everything that Deborah said previously, I totally agree with. I can reiterate what she said because it's all true. There's nothing new under the sun, and people just have to alter their perception and make it a lifestyle change. We do things based on how we were taught from generations past, which when you know better, you should do better, but unfortunately, a lot of people aren't doing better. Soul food is the worst food we can eat next to junk food. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Now, you know that, you know, in the black community, Andre, that's a strong statement. That's a strong statement now, because, boy, some brothers and sisters.
Okay. Think of where soul food comes from, okay? Mm-hmm. From the South, slavery, we were eating things that were thrown away primarily from the big house. So you got pork, tail, feet, snoot, intestine, you know. a lot of the stuff was is not to be consumed, but we made it part of our meal because we had no choice. Okay. Now that we know better, we should do better. We don't have to eat that way. And also, we tend to overload our plates. Holiday season. Come on, man. Thanksgiving, you go to the family, you pile it on. You sit there, you have to unbutton your pants. Go get some more, and they send you go get some more. You know, you should just eat to pacify the hunger. You don't eat to get full. There's no reason to eat to get full. Now, we used to do that, you know, when food was scarce because you didn't know when you're going to eat again. So you eat as much as you can to store it up. But there's no need to do that now. You can go to the grocery store. You can go 24 hours. You can get something to eat in America. So there's no reason to eat until you're stuffed.
You know, that's so funny, man, when I think about that, because I've seen over the years, I've seen a number of people, some that might have even been family members and others just maybe casual acquaintances. Okay, for example, there was this woman I met a few years ago. She was a single mom. And she already had this, you know, pretty nice-sized refrigerator. But then not too far from it was this big freezer. At first, I didn't realize what it was. I said, what is that big box you got over there? She said, oh, that's my freezer. And I said, man, that thing is big. And so she lifted up the top. Dude, I don't even know if I'm exaggerating here. She had enough food in that freezer to probably last for the next 10 years. I mean, because it was just her and her son, man. But there was enough food in here, man. I mean, it was, I don't know the exact dimensions, but it was, let's just say, it was a pretty big freezer. And it just, incidences like that made me think to myself, like, okay, because see, I've never done anything like that. I'm kind of at most, I might buy enough stuff for maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. But I usually go grocery shopping. Yeah, I would say I go grocery shopping usually. Sometimes much as once or twice a week. At the minimum, I'd say once every week and a half, once every 2 weeks.
See that what she did? That's old school. See, you don't know the financial situation. You stock up while you got it because you don't know when the lean time's gonna hit. But but if you think about how people eat in other countries, you know, they shop for that day. So the food is fresher. You cook, you shop for that day. They very rarely have leftovers.
Yeah, I think it was you, if not you, somebody I'm friends with, was just telling me that within the last couple weeks. They said, well, first of all, I've always read that America compared to many other countries, we're just really towards the bottom of the list, if not at the bottom of the list in terms of healthy eating. There's so many countries like, somebody just mentioned me. They said they went to Canada. They said if you go to Canada, you don't see too many fat, out of shape people in Canada.
Yeah,
they said they're few and far between compared to America. But going back to that comment you made, I think it was you who just told me that maybe a week ago or so about some people in certain countries. They only shop for that day. They get fresh meat that morning. And everything else they need that morning. And I guess that would be the best way to get healthy food that don't have, you know, any type of preservatives or all that.
And it limits your consumption as well, if you think about it. We tend to overeat because it's there. You know, it's easily accessible. That's why fast food is killing us slowly. You have 24-hour drive-thrus for a 99-cent cheeseburger, and a salad costs $5. A real salad costs over $5. So the price point even, it kind of pushes you to eat the poison.
Man, it's so funny. I wish I had, if I could find this, I'm going to send you a copy of this cartoon I saw. It was one of these cartoons that it made me laugh, but at the same time, it literally made me rub my chin. Like, it was a cartoon strip, and these two guys are, well, the first few pictures, you can't tell they're sitting in the car. Just looks like they're sitting down. And they see some bugs going to, like, the equivalent of, like, you know, how they had those, like, roach motels. And so the two guys are laughing. They say, bugs, they're so stupid. All you got to do is put these little boxes of poison, and they walk right into them, they eat it, and they walk right out. And then they kind of, you know, laughing at each other. And then as the strip progresses, then it comes to see that it shows them in a car, and they're in a drive-thru.
Yeah, exactly.
Of a fast food, and of course the message is, you know, humans are just like the bugs.
Exactly.
And it made me think, because I remember I was at a barber shop, and this became like a 2-hour discussion. This was a few years ago. But this woman was talking about how she had had 4 or 5 combination friends and some relatives that had died of either a heart attack or a stroke. And the youngest one, I think, was about 34, 35. The oldest was only about 47, 48. And she was saying how, you know, in previous generations, that just didn't happen. You know, usually heart attacks and strokes happen to people in their, you know, 70s, 80s. But now you got people in their 30s and 40s. Would it be your strong opinion and your assessment that we have just too much access to this processed food and this fast food that is literally shortening our lives?
Most definitely. I mean, if you look at the food table that the government says we should eat, okay, it gets kind of deep if you think about it. This country is run, it's a corporation, and it is run by pharmaceutical companies and big business, which if you don't eat properly, you get sick. When you get sick, you take the drugs. So it's a continuous cycle, putting money in the pockets of the corporations. Okay, doctors and drugs don't cure; they prolong your life with an illness. Vegetables and eating properly cures illness. You know what I mean? So if you work out and you eat properly, you don't get sick. There's no need to take the drugs. If you don't take the drugs, who's not making a profit? So they tell you, eat this, this, and this, so that you get sick, to take the drugs to line the pocket. Dairy is the worst freaking thing you can put in your body, especially if you're black and lactose intolerant. There's no reason to consume dairy, actually, because dark leafy green vegetables will give you the calcium you need.
I need you to repeat that to my listeners. What gives them as much, if not more, calcium than dairy?
Dark leafy green vegetables.
So like collard greens, for example.
Definitely, but you can't, don't overcook. See, a lot of stuff we cook all the nutrients out of the food. My grandmother used to drink the juice out of the greens. She called it pot liquor, okay, because all the nutrients gets cooked out of the food. So she'd drink the juice.
Wow.
And if you think about it, when you do juicing, what are you doing? You're taking the vegetable and liquefying it, which is where all the nutrients are.
So that's why juicing's so popular.
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely.
Because I know, like, 20 years ago, I didn't hear anybody talking about juicing. Now, you know, that's all I hear people talk about is, I just bought a juicer and,
There was no need to juice 20 years ago. Well, 20 years ago. But if you think about our grandparents that lived to ripe old age, they ate healthier food. They didn't have as many chemicals. They weren't these genetically modified foods. They walked everywhere. They weren't lazy like us, jumping in the car to go around the corner to the grocery store. They walked to the grocery store. That's true.
Yeah, my grandmother used to walk to the grocery store.
And they didn't have as many chemicals going into their system. They had, beer, a little liquor, and some water. But now everything is filled with sugar and color and preservatives, and who knows what all of these foreign matter going into your body eventually does.
Man, you know, you're making me think of this scene. I don't know if you saw this movie. There's a movie, I think it's called, is it called Fast Food Nation or just Fast Food? It has Greg Kinnear in it, and there's a cameo by Bruce Willis. And Greg Kinnear, plays this guy who's like the regional district manager of like a Burger King or McDonald's type franchise. And he meets with Bruce Willis, who's like one of the top men. And he says, I can't remember Bruce Willis' character's name. I'll just call him John. He says, John, I'm very disturbed by something I've seen at the plants that I've been visiting recently. And Bruce Willis says, okay, what's that? He says, I've come to see that all of our burgers contain little small particles of animal feces, like rat feces and whatnot. He says, that's I consider that unacceptable. And Bruce Willis just smirks at him. He's like, dude, what are you talking about? This shit ain't all meat. And Greg Kinnear's like, come again, excuse me? He's like, seriously, even the USDA allows it. They allow a certain percentage. They allow like something like 0.3, you know, 25% of shit in your meat.
Right.
And when I saw the movie, of course, I was cracking up. I thought it was funny. But then I was talking to a nutritionist, and they said that dialogue that they were using is not too far from real life. That's true. I said, really? She said, oh, yeah, most meat got little small particles of shit in it. I'm
well,
like, get
not
the
only
fuck
that,
out of here.
Understanding how meat is processed and grown and so forth, if you really, if I could, I'd become a vegan, actually. I really would. I don't eat beef. I don't eat pork. I limit my consumption to lighter meats, chicken and poultry. But even that, if you see how it's processed, the agony the animals go through, the hormones that are shot into them, all of the antibiotics they're given. It's true, we are what we eat. And you wonder why there are so many deformities and diseases that are resistant to vaccines and so forth is because we're consuming so many antibiotics through the animal protein that we consume.
Wow, that's deep, man. It's now I'm similar. I'm mainly, as you probably, I don't know if you heard a lot of the first portion with Deborah, but I love chicken wings, so it's hard for me. I think it'd be hard for me to ever give up chicken wings, but I have.
Well, it's not giving up the chicken wings, but it's how you prepare the chicken wings. And like you said, everything is moderation to a certain extent. It depends on what your goal is, how big you are, what are you trying to lose, your purpose for exercise. Everybody has a different reason for exercising. Everything isn't about, for guys at least, being big and having bulky muscles. Everything for a woman isn't about being thin, you know. So you can work out and reshape your body. The body exercise, I see myself as an artist, a sculptor. I can reshape your body to however, you know, you want it to be depending on your body type. So it's workable, but it's not what you do, it's how it's done. So you can eat your chicken wings, but instead of frying them, you might want to, you know, grill them or broil them or, you know, boil them or do something different. I eat a lot of chicken myself. I eat a lot of chicken.
Well, since you said that the chicken wings were cool, but
now what do you put on the chicken wings?
You did tell me both personally,
all that sauce and all that stuff,
as well as on this show. You mentioned that you tend to frown on dairy. So, in addition to dairy, is there anything that just makes you frown that if, say, a friend of yours is going to eat it, you'd be like, hey, man, if I was you, I really wouldn't eat that?
I don't really – I used to, but I don't really tell or give advice unless it's asked of me. I made a few enemies that way. I lost a few friends and had a couple doors slammed in my face. Oh, here he come again, Mr. Healthy. You know, so I kind of just overlook when people do their thing because it's coming into your own awareness. You know, everyone has to elevate and when the light hits you, man, you got to wake up. You know, all I can do is live by example, and if they see me healthy, I don't get sick. they see me rising to the top, then, you know, like maybe they'll take, you know, take the step as well.
Now, I know with me, and I think I speak for a lot of middle-aged gentlemen, let's say guys definitely over 40, I'm having a problem, and some of this is just, I admit, just due to me just being lazy and not being focused, but I've never had as much, you know, weight around in the belly area, and I read articles and see things on the internet, how to get rid of belly fat. Is there any, first of all, my first question would be, is belly fat more diet-related? Or is it more exercise related, or would you say it's equally the result of a combination of both?
It's a combination of both, but I tend to believe that nutrition is 80% of the battle. Because if even if I don't work out for months, which I haven't since the holidays, but I still maintain a certain body weight, and because I don't fluctuate from my nutrition. You can't put in more than you burn off. So if you're stagnant and sitting, you can't continue to eat what you were eating as if you were mobile and active. So yeah, you'll get a gut.
Huh. So you said nutrition is 80%. Okay. Okay.
Think about this. When we were younger, people didn't eat fast food as much. Mom would come home, she'd cook, and we'd go out and play. We didn't have the childhood obesity. You didn't see a lot of fat kids unless they had thyroid issues or something. There weren't a lot of fat kids because we'd go out and play, and it was what we ate. We didn't eat the fast food. McDonald's and crap like that was on a weekend. That was a special treat. Now people give kids McDonald's every day, and if they cook, that's the treat.
Man, that's one of those comments that's very funny, but at the same time, it's very true. That is very true. Man.
So we've got to change our outlook on things, man. It's definitely it's detrimental to our health, and if we're going to survive, man, we have to change the way we're doing this thing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take an intermission break, and then I'm going to come back with just a couple more questions for you, and then we'll begin to wrap up. Listeners, if you have any questions for Andre Lavelle, you can call in at 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. I'm getting ready to take my last intermission break of the night, and then I will come back, so don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously, and you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com, and remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward in Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. It's only 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
So listeners know there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like he said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my discussion about eating better and exercising more in 2013 with Deborah Johnson Fallon and Andre Lavelle on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the number one most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. But tonight we're not specifically talking about dating and relationships, but we are talking about a subject that can lead to a bachelor or a bachelorette having a more fulfilling and enjoyable and satisfying love life, sex life, and social life, because, you know, if you're not healthy, I mean, you know, how can you really have an enjoyable love life, sex life, and social life? And the two guests I've had this evening, my first guest, her name was Deborah Johnson Fountain. She's a health and fitness trainer on the East Coast in Connecticut. And now my second guest who I'm conversing with, his name is Andre Lavelle, and he is not just a personal trainer, but I would go ahead and give him the label an intense personal trainer. None of that fluffy stuff where, you know, you leave a session feeling like you didn't really do anything. Now, you're going to leave his session feeling like, man, do I really got to come back tomorrow? Oh, my God, I'm aching all over. And he's going to say, yep, if we can do it all again tomorrow or 2 days from now. He's on the West Coast. He's actually been in a number of cities, but he's primarily focused in the Los Angeles area. And his organization is the PCW Fitness Bootcamps. Matter of fact, I'm on the site now, and I'm going to read for my listeners just a couple of testimonials from his previous clients. One is from a young lady named Latrice. Latrice, and she said, The journey to wellness is a rewarding one for anyone that commits to the process. Obviously, weight is an easy burden to accumulate but not to take off. Working with Andre Lavelle has given me the determination to, in quotes, burn the goo. The days that I'm not with him, I repeat those words and push myself that much harder. Andre's technique is inspiring and placid. He's not the type of trainer that yells and humiliates you, but instead encourages you to get the job done by expressing the power within each and every one of us. I remember getting started and very proud of a motivational fat poster I made and put on my refrigerator. It was a plethora of fat women along with an affirmation of strength and willpower. Andre said, "Why don't you make a poster with bodies that reflect where you want to be? These women are a sign that you see yourself as fat." He was right. The relationship I have established with myself since working with Andre Lavelle is one of love, patience, and acceptance. This approach makes the journey a lot more enjoyable than beating up on myself or having a trainer degrade and humiliate me. With this type of overall work consciousness, you can't help but to succeed. Peace and love, Latrice. And one more I'm going to read is from a woman. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right. My name is Andaye. Says, "I'm 51 years old. I've been physically active all of my life. When I turned 40, most of my physical activity stopped. I knew I needed to stay active, but I continued to do nothing. At 50, I really started to feel unhealthy, even though I was a vegetarian." Now, that's an interesting comment. "I started to feel unhealthy even though I was a vegetarian." Huh. "I found a flyer called Andre. This was the beginning of my new body. He has taught me that fitness is not a fad or trend and has become a way of life for me. I work out 5 days a week and I feel great. This is the first time in my life that I understand that exercise is not something you do just to lose weight or to fit into a dress, but it's a lifestyle." Uh-huh. Those are great testimonials, Andre.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate you reading those, man. And see, like I mentioned earlier, the reason I enjoy group training versus one-on-one, well, I wouldn't say I don't enjoy one-on-one, but I'm very passionate about what I do, and I get emotionally involved with my clients. And when people whine, complain, or don't fulfill the expectations they have for themselves, I take it personal. And it affects me. I get emotional about it, man, because then I'm like, what did I do wrong? What am I not doing right? You know, so in a group setting, it kind of takes the pressure off of me to a certain extent.
Interesting. Now, you know, there is, I have to give you a lighthearted criticism. There's one thing I read about personal trainers that some would say is negative, but I guess the guys who do the personal training would consider. I deal with dating relationships on the show, and I actually talked about this a few months ago. There was an article that came out about the men that women most cheat on their boyfriends and husbands with, and they graded them or evaluated them by career, listed them by career. Guess who was number one? Personal trainers. I found it interesting. Yeah, that's the number one type of man by career that women are most likely to cheat on their boyfriends or husbands with.
Well, it depends on the trainer, but you got to look at it like this. You're spending a lot of time with an individual who opens up to you about just about everything. You're physically in pretty decent shape, and you're constantly reinforcing and giving them positive affirmations, so you're making them feel good about themselves.
Okay, now you know I got to ask you a personal nosy question. Have you had a female client who was married or in a relationship that because of her bond she developed, she was like, "Andre, I want to give you some. I want to give you," like, "I'm sorry." She's like, "No, I want to give you some, really."
You see
that laugh? Listen, that was the laugh of a guy who really doesn't want to answer that question.
Well, see, I'm a relationship kind of cat, man. So I'm actually on the lookout, you know. So definitely, if something were to happen, I wouldn't, you know. If she's with somebody, no, I don't cross that line. But if they're single, hey, you know.
Yeah,
that's all
I know you got your fan club because, sisters, if you go to Andre's site, he got his shirt off and stuff. He's showing off his abs and stuff. See?
I'm looking for Mrs. Wright. I'm looking for Miss Wright, man.
Okay,
I ain't mad at you, man.
What? Because with all the crazy women, well, don't let me generalize. Let me clear that up before I get about 200 emails. There's a lot of quality women out here. But it's a lot of y'all crazy motherfuckers out here, too. And, yeah, if you can find just one quality one, I say just stick with it. Because I used to be all about, you know, playing the field. But, man, it's too many knuckleheads. But that's another subject for another show. As we wrap up, what would you say is some of your final pieces of advice for people, say, who, similar to one of those two testimonies I read, what advice would you give for somebody, and I even kind of loosely at least fit in this category, somebody who was about health and fitness, say, in their teens, their 20s, most of their 30s, but then once they got to their 40s and or 50s, they start becoming a little more lazy, not as cautious of what they eat. But they have a genuine desire, if nothing more than because of their new Year's resolution. They want to, you know, kind of get in a new rhythm. What would be maybe 3 to 5 pieces of advice you would give to that man or woman?
I would say, the reason we say lifestyle, because it's not a fad. And with anything, with PCW, we look at physical transformation as a metaphor for life transformation. So just like you plan to get a good job, to make a certain amount of money, to build your life, to get the house, to buy the car, taking care of yourself is part of that agenda. So you have to be just as diligent and serious in that effort as you are in the rest of your life. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people put more stock on their job and career than they do their health and their family. Think about how many hours people spend at work and how much quality time they spend at home. It's complete opposite. So enjoy your life. Get serious about your health, because without that, the job, the whip, the gear, the bling is pointless.
Yeah, man. You know, I remember my late mother. And, man, I can't even really talk about this too much, DJ, because I get kind of choked up most of the time when I think about my parents, because both of them passed away. But I remember my mother, one time I was teasing because she had an appointment, and she had gotten to a point where she was literally going to, like, 2 or 3 doctor's appointments a week, every week. And she said, and so I was kind of teasing. She said, son, I can't move any faster, you know. Then she just looked at me and just like, she just stared. She said, son, I don't think you understand. I'm number one, I'm old, and I'm sick. And she said, if I can't impart any wisdom on you right now as your mother, she said, if I had to narrow all my advice just down to one piece of advice, she said, I would say start now taking care of your health. Because she said, everything that you take for granted as a young person comes back to bite you when you get older.
Yep.
You know, I've never forgot that conversation with her. You know, I mean, she was basically in her own way said that if I had to do it all over again, I would have ate better, I would have exercised more, because you know she was the product. You know, I think a lot of people in her generation, a lot of our generations, came from that you started out talking about. You know, like when we used to go to her mother's house for Thanksgiving, there was always just a ridiculously. It's like that scene from The Nutty Professor where they just have that ridiculous amount of food on the table. It's like, who is going to eat all this? And so, you know, she just was used to, and she was a great chef. I always brag about how great my mother, like, the one reason I got a sweet tooth, because she was known for cooking desserts. But anyway, in that one moment, though, that conversation, I could see that she regretted a lot of her past eating habits and lack of exercise habits, because she said, once you get old, it's like, you know.
Yeah, and parents pass it on to their kids. That's why I stress to mine. It's like what you do, if you don't eat properly, the way you act, that's the way your children are going to act. You know, so it's passed on from generation to generation. And there's two things you can't get back. That old saying, you don't miss it till it's gone, health and youth. So you don't
that's
miss
true.
It till it's gone, baby.
That is, man, that's so true. Okay, now, for those listeners of mine really all over the country, but particularly those in the Los Angeles area, can you tell my listeners where they can find you on the World Wide Web and how they can go about getting in contact with you?
Yes, the website is pcwbootcamp.com, pcwbootcamp.com, and my phone number is 818-574-3832, 818-574-3832, and we do group and personal one-on-ones. If you're up for a challenge, I'm here for you.
Well, it's been my pleasure to have you as a guest, Andre. I wish you nothing but continued success. And,
thank you, bro.
And yeah, man, you motivate me, man, because you put me to shame every time I go to your website, man. Because see, if somebody, it's like right now, somebody had a gun in my head. They say, Alan, we gonna shoot you unless you put a shirtless picture of you on your website. I'll be like, man, you just gonna have to put that bullet in my head because I am not taking my shirt off on no public website. But maybe I need to come out there later and take your PCW boot camp so I can. Get shirtless.
Hey, we're getting ready to start this online training too, bro. So, you know, we can make
oh,
it happen.
Shoot. Oh, shoot. Oh, shoot. All right, brother Andre, man. Again, man, much
thanks
love
so
and respect to you. And
sure.
Listeners, join me next week again. I don't have my guest confirmed, so I'm not going to say who the guest will be at this point. But as you know, all my shows are pretty entertaining and informative, so just stay tuned to my Facebook, my Blog Talk Radio page, and I'll keep you posted on next week's discussion. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and based on this episode, put down them donuts, put down that Häagen-Dazs ice cream, grab you an orange, and drink you some water. Okay, drink you a little bit of peach schnapple. But other than that, just drink water. And I'll see you next Thursday. Take care.